Chapter 1 "Morning, Chief," called Gail McGillicuddy from the doorway of Garden Isles Flower Shop. Jack nodded hello.
"Morning, Mrs. McGillicuddy."
"How's it going, Chief?"
Ezra Christmas called from across the street.
"Can't complain, Mr. Christmas."
Jack was a man on a mission. Well, maybe it was more man on an expedition. No, not expedition. Exploration. Exploratory testing. That was it. Anyway, for the past week he'd been back and forth on whether to, well, proceed to the next square where a certain mystery bookstore owner was concerned. This morning he had woken up to sunshine and the unoriginal but nonetheless true thought that you never knew until you tried. Yes, if things did not go well, it was probably the end of a budding friendship as well. But maybe not. Ellery really did seem like a reasonable guy, and, more importantly, not in any rush to get deeply involved. Jack strode briskly down the cobbled streets of Pirate's Cove, conscious for the first time in a long time of how sweet the fresh salty air was, how the sunlight dazzled on the water in the cove. Dylan Carter stood outside the toy chest, sweeping the wooden steps. Jack raised his hand in greeting.
"Carter?"
"Chief."
Carter nodded cordially, glanced automatically at the shop next door to his, the Crow's Nest.
"Beautiful day for it,"
he said rather cryptically. "Yeah, well, hopefully. It was a beautiful day, no lie there." Jack's heart slightly picked up tempo at a glimpse of Ellery Page through the Crow's Nest windows, which amused him. But sure, it had been a while since he'd asked anyone out. He'd shared a few meals with Sue, but that had been very casual, and Sue had mostly done the asking. In fact, that was one reason he was being extra cautious now. He had failed to recognize Sue's interest in him for what it was until things had progressed to the point where she got her feelings hurt. He felt bad about that. He liked Sue. Sue was attractive. But Jack had not been looking for anything more than pleasant and occasional company. And frankly, that was still all he was looking for. Although there was no question, he was a lot more attracted to Ellery than he'd been to Sue. In fact, he was a lot more attracted to Ellery than he'd been to anyone in a very long time. Which was why he was feeling a little bit elevated as his eyes met Ellery's through the front door window. Ellery smiled the smile that had launched a million tubes of toothpaste, and Jack smiled back. The bell rang in cheery welcome as he stepped inside the Crow's Nest. He glanced around, and, for once, the coast appeared to be clear.
"Why, howdy, Sheriff,"
Ellery greeted him. Jack grinned. Ellery's idea of a Western accent was pure bonanza.
"Why, howdy, Mr. Page,"
Jack drawled.
"Tweren't fixin' to see you quite so soon."
Jack grimaced and dropped the drawl.
"I know. I have to take a rain check on lunch. Emergency town council meeting."
"Oh."
Ellery looked flatteringly disappointed.
"That's too bad. What's the emergency?"
A policeman's lot was frequently not a happy one. It was a fact. At least for the policeman's prospective dates. It took a special kind of person to put up with the vagaries and disappointments of a cop's work schedule. So far, Ellery had passed the test with flying colors. He was always agreeably sorry when their plans were canceled, but never resentful or difficult. That made life so much easier. And a relationship so much more possible. Jack replied,
"The lack of any game plan to handle the media once they arrive for the trial."
"Ugh, right."
Ellery's open distaste for the media could probably be laid at Sue's door. It was hard to imagine that a former actor had always been so hostile to the idea of free publicity.
But Sue had done a real hatchet job on him during the days he'd been suspected of murdering Trevor Maples, and her public retraction apology had smacked more than a little of, "People who refuse to explain themselves when they're offered a chance have only themselves to blame if the wrong conclusions are drawn." Yeah, anyway, I was wondering, Jack broke off as Watson, the black spaniel mix puppy Ellery had adopted, wandered out of his crate behind the counter to say hello. Jack had always had a soft spot for dogs. In fact, when he'd first joined the LAPD, he'd considered joining the canine unit. He squatted down. "Hey, you little rascal." Watson's scrunchy little face brightened. People who thought dogs didn't have expressions were plain wrong. And he threw himself on his back, squirming in anticipation of the tummy tickle that was coming. Ellery shook his head, smiling, and for a moment, his gaze tangled with Jack's. He really did have very pretty eyes. That shade of brown was like a color in old tapestry. The moment ended abruptly as Mrs. Nelson sailed around a tall bookshelf's end cap.
"Oh, Chief Carson, I thought I recognized your voice."
Damn. It was surprisingly difficult to find Ellery on his own these days. Not that Jack begrudged him his customers. Ellery needed to make a living in order to stay on the island, and Jack definitely wanted him to stay on the island. Jack rose. "Mrs. Nelson, how are you?" As Mrs. Nelson brought him up to date, Ellery retreated to the sales desk where Jane Smith met him, balancing a tall stack of used paperbacks.
"But if I've told him once, I've told him a million times. Don't exaggerate, Thomas,"
Mrs. Nelson was saying. Jack nodded automatically. Watson had decided to try gnawing on the toe of his boot in a bid for attention. "Hey, you," Jack muttered out of the side of his mouth. He wiggled his foot discouragingly, to Watson's delight.
"Ring these up, dear,"
Miss Smith instructed Ellery before turning to Jack.
"Chief Carson, how is the Maples case coming along?"
Miss Smith, like everyone else with a subscription to Netflix, believed herself to be some kind of amateur detective savant. "We're gathering evidence and building our case, Miss Smith.
The circumstantial evidence alone ought to be enough to secure a conviction."
"I prefer direct evidence." Jack glanced at Ellery and just managed not to roll his eyes. Ellery's smile was more of a grimace. He was understandably touchy about people being convicted without a boatload of evidence. Mrs. Nelson, who had moved on to her numerous but non-life-threatening physical ailments, cut in.
"Call me old-fashioned, but I don't trust a doctor younger than my grandchildren."
"Isn't your youngest grandchild around 8 years old?" Jack inquired.
"I always suspected there was something up with that man."
Mrs. Ferris popped her head out of the true crime section. "Good God, another one?" The bookstore was starting to feel like a page out of Find the Rabbit in the Picture.
"His taste in sports coats was a clear indicator of a deranged psyche,"
Mrs. Ferris added. Were they still talking about Mrs. Nelson's doctor? Jack wasn't sure.
"Juries like circumstantial evidence," Miss Smith insisted.
Which, yes and no, juries liked clear-cut motives, and motive was often a big part of circumstantial evidence. The problem was, motive was one of the least reliable indicators of guilt. It was just too subjective. Ellery suddenly darted around the corner and dashed past them toward the front door. And who could blame him? But no, his patience hadn't finally snapped. The pup, Watson, noticing the front door had opened onto a world full of new and exciting vistas, was navigating an obstacle course of shoes and shopping bags on his way to new adventures.
"No, you don't,"
Ellery scooped up the black fur ball. Watson blinked up at him adoringly. The potential customers backed out again. Ellery glanced over, caught Jack's eye, and smiled ruefully, as if he knew what had been in Jack's thoughts. Did he? Ellery glanced past Jack at the huddle in front of the cash register and sighed. Jack sighed, too, because it was clear to him that he wasn't going to have an opportunity to talk to Ellery on his own. And yet, he wasn't ready to leave, either. He liked chatting with Ellery first thing in the morning, liked that infusion of energy and optimism. He found the bookstore a comfortable and cheerful place. Ellery's aunt had been energetic and optimistic, too, but the bookstore had more resembled a hoarder's lair when the old lady was running it, at least by the time Jack moved to Pirate's Cove. Eudora would have liked Ellery. Most people seemed to like Ellery. Ellery returned Watson to his crate, gave him a chew toy, and set about ringing up Miss Smith's books. He was nodding politely as he went through the books. Jack could tell he was only half listening. As if he'd picked up Jack's thoughts, Ellery glanced up, and they smiled at each other again. Yeah, Jack really did like Ellery. He liked that he was hard-working and not afraid of putting in overtime or getting his hands dirty. He liked his sense of humor. Ellery laughed easily. He saw the humor in challenging situations. Jack liked his kindness, his patience. He liked his cooking. Jack came from a long line of men who couldn't cook to save themselves from starving to death. He liked that Ellery liked dogs enough to adopt a stray he found on the road. And he really, really liked Ellery's looks. Which was funny because, for whatever reason, he'd always preferred blondes. Buff, well-built golden boys. It was a California thing. Ellery's willowy, brooding, romantic hero looks were kind of a palate cleanser. Ellery always looked as though he should be wandering across the moors, spouting poetry, or up on a crag somewhere, shaking his fist at a lightning storm. Whereas the reality was he'd more likely be found sprinting after a puppy, or baking a quiche, or stripping varnish, without wearing a respirator, from antique paneling. Jack opened his mouth. He wasn't even sure what he was going to say. But Stanley Starling, were they multiplying back there? Suddenly appeared, waving a hefty hardback.
Ellery, my boy, could you tell me the price of this book?
Ellery peered at the price label on the back of the book Starling was waving under his nose. Mr. Starling turned to Jack.
Chief Carson, I didn't see you there.
It was moments like these when Jack felt deeply grateful for the ban on cars and trucks inside the village center. Even the idea of Starling behind the wheel of a golf cart was enough to give Jack nightmares. Morning, Mr. Starling. Jack glanced instinctively at the door. As much as he enjoyed Ellery watching.
Nice day today, eh, Chief?
Yep. Ellery handed over a stack of paperbacks and a receipt to Miss Smith. Miss Smith dumped the books into her tote bag and turned to Mr. Starling.
How's your wife, Stanley?
Mr. Starling waved dismissively.
Doing fine, I suppose. Spends her days staring at the boob tube.
I don't believe televisions still have tubes, objected Mrs. Nelson.
Mr. Starling attempted to pin Jack with his beady gaze.
Chief, I've been meaning to talk to you about those young hooligans hanging out on the beach every evening. It wouldn't surprise me if they were doing drugs or whatnot.
There was definitely a lot of whatnot happening in this place, by sea and by land.
Sure.
Jack, still fighting a gallant rear guard action, began to fall back toward the door. Why don't you come down to the station later and have a chat with Officer Martin? Mr. Starling's mouth turned down.
I'm not sure young Martin is old enough to know what's what.
Miss Smith seemed to have joined their retreat, skirting Jack and calling cheerily,
Lovely visiting with you all, but I must pick up some scallops from Finn's.
Mrs. Nelson called out,
You've forgotten to pay, Jane.
Miss Smith threw Jack a look of pure guilt and burst out laughing. That laugh. That was one scary laugh.
Oh, dear, she cried. I'm always doing that.
Was she? Judging by Ellery's polite chuckle, yeah, she was. How much of that did Ellery have to put up with on a regular basis? Jack remarked, Uh-oh, Miss Smith. Should I save space for your mugshot on the station bulletin board? Miss Smith turned scarlet and laughed that alarming laugh again. The rest of the over-the-hill gang joined in, but the tone was more laughing at you than with you. Miss Smith pulled out her pocketbook, fumbled through it, and handed over a $20 bill.
"Keep the change, dear."
Given Ellery's deadpan expression, Jack deduced the Smith woman was short. He sighed inwardly. Ellery said gravely, "Thanks, Miss Smith." Yep, that was just one of the things Jack really liked about him. That rare mix of kooky humor and kindness. However, he didn't like seeing Ellery taken advantage of. The shop bell clanged in warning, and Nora Sweeney swept in like a small tornado.
"Ellery, dearie, so sorry I'm late, but you won't believe what's happened."
Jack was starting to feel like he'd wandered into a play. Maybe one of those crazy noises-off farce things. "What's happened?" Ellery and everyone else in the crow's nest chorused. Nora looked startled to see the rest of the cast assembled.
"I didn't realize. Well, the news is bound to be all over the village by now. I still can't believe it. It's a calamity."
"What's a calamity?" Jack was thinking fire, flood, famine, hopefully not another murder.
"Skull House has been sold."
Jack relaxed. That was actually good news. That old house sitting there empty was a safety hazard and an open invitation to mischief makers. "Isn't that good news?" Ellery, too, seemed confused. "I thought the Historical Society was planning to buy it for their new home base."
"But that's just it. It's not us. The Historical Society hasn't purchased the house. We were outbid. We didn't even know we were bidding. Someone, an outsider, swooped in at the last moment and stole the house out from under us."
Nora reached the counter, resting her elbows on it and dropping her head in her hands. Ellery put a consoling hand on her shoulder. "Are you all right?" Nora, still clutching her head, shook no. The rest of Ellery's customers, were they customers or was the crow's nest turning into a clubhouse, demanded details. Who, what, where, when, why?
"I'm sorry, but, you know, maybe it's for the best," Ellery said. "Skull House would probably cost a fortune to get in shape, and it isn't exactly conveniently located. There are other houses."
Mrs. Nelson shot that down.
"No, there really aren't. When was the last time you saw property for sale on the island?"
"And no new construction, per the Buck Island Conservancy." That grim observation came from Starling. Jack could see the way this was going. He headed for the door.
"The Maples properties are going to come on the market eventually," Nora was saying.
"Eventually,"
agreed Mrs. Nelson.
"Which could be years from now. You know how the courts are."
"I know. I know all that."
The bells on the door chimed softly as Jack eased it open. He waited for Ellery to look up, and then waved a brief goodbye. Ellery, clearly preoccupied with the latest tempest in a teacup, nodded back, regretfully, it seemed, which made two of them. Jack stepped outside, closing the door firmly behind him, and breathed a long sigh of relief.